It's Monday, March 2nd, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Sorry about posting so late this evening, but most of today I had spent in the capital of Oregon, Salem, at a hearing for a medical marijuana bill, getting some video and listening to testimony. So was quite busy doing, well, government at work, actually, and we'll be bringing you some of that testimony on tomorrow's Daily Audio Stash. Now, over the weekend, you may have noticed a survey that was posted from our own Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He's trying to do a study on cannabis and personality types, and if you answer this survey, you could qualify to win a $250 Amazon gift certificate or one of four 4-gigabyte iPod Nanos. Survey takes about 15 to 20 minutes, and some of the questions are kind of weird, but hey, you can make a difference in the science and the growing truth about cannabis, so log on to the stash, find that post from Dr. Earlywine, click the link, and take the survey. You also may have noticed over the weekend the brick hash. That's right, it was a quarter pound brick of hash that was donated to Oregon Normal, and we made available to the Oregon medical marijuana patients who attended our meeting over the weekend. If you want to check a look at that, we've got some photos on the Stash blog, but also this is a part of Paul Stanford's Cannabis Common Sense television show, and you can see this television show every Friday by way of ustream.tv. That's the letter U, STREAM.tv. It's a live call-in show, too, so you can ask your questions of Paul Stanford or Normal Board of Directors member Madeline Martinez every Friday night, 8 p.m. Pacific time. I also want to thank you, Stashers, for continually setting records of hits and downloads for the podcast. February was once again a record month with us just barely under 100,000 hits for the month. It's not a lot compared to some other blogs, but you got to remember when we started off in April, we were only getting about 1,000 hits a month. So to get 100,000, that's pretty nice. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, because I was gone all day, I do not have any interviews in the tank, but I am going to bring you some audio from my appearance on a local Portland public affairs program called Outlook Portland, which aired Sunday morning on Portland's CW affiliate. It's about 20 minutes worth of audio, so I'm going to put it into two parts. The first part is me and the host, Rick Emerson, discussing Normal. And in the second portion, and some of you know what's coming, I'm debating a sock puppet. Yeah, they couldn't find anyone who would actually say things like gateway theory on camera, so they had the sock puppet do it. I hope it came out okay. You can be the judge by listening today. And in our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we've got Human and the Human Revolution, which is really cool because Human and the Human Revolution will be appearing in 2 months, May 2nd, at the Global Cannabis March here in Portland, Oregon. Now, the Global Cannabis March is taking place all around the world. There's over 138 cities that have signed up, and you can check to see if your city's on the list by visiting globalmarijuanamarch.org. It's always on the first Saturday of May, so this year it's May 2nd, and if you're going to be in Portland, Oregon, it's going to be at high noon at Pioneer Courthouse Square. We've got the square for the entire afternoon, and that's when Human and the Human Revolution will be one of the bands that'll be in between the speakers at our festival. So hope to see you there. I'll be speaking there, of course, as well as plenty of other experts from the cannabis community. All right, folks, it's time to load it up and hit it hard. It's time for your normal daily audio stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Arizona Attorney General: pot legalization could prevent border violence. On Friday, Democrat Terry Goddard, Arizona's Attorney General, said that while he's not in favor of legalizing marijuana, he thinks it should be debated as a way of curbing violence in the increasingly deadly clashes between Mexico's gangs. Kieran Chetri of CNN asked the question, he, Andres Rosenthal, a former deputy foreign minister of Mexico who now works for the Brookings Institution, says, as with the repeal of prohibition, the U.S. must follow a common sense approach by thinking the unthinkable, the gradual legalization of some drugs. The U.S. must realize that all drugs are not created equal. They go on to say that marijuana, maybe some methamphetamines, do not have the same harmful effects, and legalization might make a difference. Do you agree? End quote. Goddard replied, quote, well, I don't. But I do think the debate needs to go forward. We need to find a better way to handle it. Right now, the item that's fueling the violent cartels, the murders in Mexico, the cartel wars that are going on right now, that have resulted in over 1,000 deaths this year, I think we need to take a very aggressive stand on that. And marijuana is the number one producer for the cartels. 60 to 70% of their gross profits come from marijuana. So, I think we need to look very hard at something we haven't looked at for years. End quote. It's a pretty straightforward equation. Controlling guns flowing into Mexico from the U.S. by enforcing existing gun laws, plus controlling marijuana flowing into the U.S. from Mexico by legalizing marijuana, equals no more Mexican drug cartels. Or at least diminished in power to a point where a streamlined DEA focusing on hard drugs like cocaine, heroin, and crystal meth could make a great impact against the remaining threat from Mexico. So easy to see, so hard to implement as a U.S. government policy. Check out the entire link at the Raw story, which features the video interview from CNN with Arizona's Attorney General, Terry Goddard. Porn, gambling, and weed. Oh my. In Nevada, State Senator Bob Coffin said he would introduce a legislation to tax the state's legal brothels, a fee that would be, quote, based on the amount of activities, end quote. And unlike the Washington porn proposal, which drew the ire of the adult entertainment industry, Mr. Coffin's plan has the backing of the potential taxpayers, in this case, brothel owners who employ women as independent contractors. In Massachusetts, meanwhile, state legislators have introduced a proposal to build 2 resort-style casinos, including one in Boston. A similar push died last year in the State House of Representatives. But Representative Martin J. Walsh, a Dorchester Democrat and co-author of the new casino bill, said a $2 billion budget deficit might have changed some minds. Whether such proposals can pass is another issue, though each idea has its supporters. Betty Yee, chairwoman of the California Board of Equalization, the state's tax collector, said that legal marijuana could raise nearly $1 billion per year via a $50 per ounce fee charged to retailers. An additional $400 million could be raised through sales tax on marijuana sold to buyers. Here at Normal, we don't really take an official position on whether or not prostitution should be legalized or the pros or cons of gambling. But just in general, let me make this comment that prohibition of people's vices never works. We've seen this with alcohol. We've seen this with marijuana. And so it would seem to me that as these states are looking for ways to shore up their revenues from these budget deficits, at least the legalization of marijuana needs to be on the table.
Well, I smoked some marijuana with some people I like, just like everybody does from the East Coast to the West. I didn't even notice the cop on the bike. Didn't know I was about to be the 20 millionth marijuana arrest. Should have fought for marijuana law reform. Should have gone to the web and typed in Norm. Norm to the L.org. Normal drop the A.org, baby.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
I'm Rick Emerson. It's one of the most divisive issues of our time, and we address all the angles as only we can, with two humans and a sock puppet. That's today on Outlook Portland, on Portland CW. Hi, I'm Rick Emerson, and welcome to Outlook Portland on Portland CW. It's called Aunt Mary, boom, chronic, dope, gangster, ganja, grass, hash, herb, kiff, Mary Jane, pot, reefer, skunk, and weed. It is marijuana, and to some, it's a gateway to addiction, depression, despair. To others, it's a gateway to more efficient industry, increased economic prosperity, and a renewed fascination with the entire oeuvre of Jethro Tull. Where lies the truth? I'm joined today by Russ Belville. Russ is the Associate Director for the Oregon Chapter of NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Hello, and how are you today?
I'm doing fabulous. Thanks for having me here.
I want to clarify the most important issue right out of the gate. This is spelled K-I-F, which I would pronounce as KIF, also known as the sidekick to Zat Brannigan on Matt Groening's Futurama.
Correct.
Somebody told me it was actually Keef.
Keef is the trichomes of the marijuana plant, so kind of the essence of the marijuana plant, K-I-E-F.
Can I tell you right now a little secret between you and I? I didn't really expect you to have an answer to that, so well done. If I can ask you a really obvious question right out of the gate, if you're a member of NORML, do you just worry about being busted all the time?
No, not at all. It depends on how open you want to be with your personal use of marijuana. Someone like myself, who's a board member and obviously in the public eye, it's a lot different. But some people choose to remain anonymous and donate their time and money in ways that don't raise any public suspicion. So it's up to the member.
The phrase to reform marijuana laws is in the group's name. So my question would be, why not just say to legalize?
Well, because it's broader than just the taxation, control, or regulation of marijuana. The act of trying to reform marijuana laws can be as small a step as something like lowest priority, which is what they did in Seattle, where law enforcement is directed that the law should be the lowest priority of enforcement. That is, if all the other crimes are solved, go ahead and solve the marijuana crimes. This has led to an 80% reduction in the law enforcement and arrests in the state of in Seattle. The law reform also can encourage industrial hemp, medical marijuana, or like you mentioned, the legalization, which would be able to treat marijuana like we treat alcohol.
Before we talk about what NORML represents, let's work backward a little bit and talk about what NORML doesn't represent. What is NORML not about or in favor of? What is NORML not working for?
NORML is specifically focused on the issue of cannabis, marijuana, or industrial hemp. We do not take a stand on other drugs. That's some misperception is when they'll call people from NORML legalizers as if we believe that the same standard should be used for, say, heroin or methamphetamine that we use for marijuana. We believe they're very, very different substances, just as wine is different than Bacardi 151, just as aspirin is different than morphine. There can be different regulatory schemes to deal with different drugs. Marijuana is the one that normal is concerned with.
By the way, you do win some sort of a door prize for being the first guest to mention Bacardi 151. So,
thank you.
Greetings to our Sunday morning viewers trying to live a virtuous life. Are those the most common misconceptions? Are there other things that people believe about the organization that are just flat out incorrect or at least misleading?
Well, I think one thing that is possibly misleading to people is to think of Normal as being a pro-marijuana organization. While we believe people have the rights to use substances like marijuana in the privacy of their home and responsibly, that does not necessarily mean that we are advocates for everyone to use marijuana. All substances are different, and everyone needs to make their own choices for that. We just don't believe that anyone should be arrested or incarcerated for their use of marijuana.
How hard is it to get past those misperceptions? How hard is it to how big of an obstacle are they in terms of accomplishing what the group wants to accomplish?
Well, Normal and other groups that are fighting for drug law reform have budgets that are 1,000th or 1/10,000th what the federal government has in the Office of National Drug Control Policy and all of their propaganda efforts. So it can be incredibly difficult when you're fighting 40 years worth of propaganda and stereotypes like we are.
What is Normal's official mission statement? Is there a codified set of goals of challenges that you are working toward, or does it vary from year to year, decade to decade, administration to administration?
Now, since the founding of Normal in 1970, the goal has always been to end adult marijuana prohibition, and we like to think of ourselves as the marijuana smokers lobby. We find that there's nothing to be ashamed of or to hide from with one's personal use of marijuana, so long as one is responsible about that use, like one should be with alcohol or any other substance.
How did it come into being? I don't actually have to confess, I don't know a lot about the history of the organization, how long it's been around, or what prompted its formation. What is a sort of thumbnail history of the organization?
Really quickly, marijuana was made illegal in 1937 through the Marijuana Tax Act and remained illegal up through 1967. This was a law that made it so that you could have marijuana, but you could only have it if you had a stamp. Well, the government wouldn't give you a stamp unless you brought in the marijuana. Dr. Timothy Leary discovered that this was kind of a unconstitutional way of dealing with the issue, because you'd be incriminating yourself whenever you bought the stamp. So when that was overturned in that Timothy Leary case from 67 to 70, marijuana was kind of in a gray area, and that's when we found the popularity of it growing in the late 60s and the Summer of Love. By 1970, when Nixon rushed through the Controlled Substances Act, that was when Normal was founded by Keith Stropp in 1970. Again, as a reaction to this recriminalization of marijuana.
Was this around the same time that Richard Nixon had his photograph taken with Elvis Presley, who I do believe was made an honorary DEA agent?
That's absolutely right. Elvis Presley was very interested in what the DEA was doing, and ironically enough,
yes,
became a DEA agent, yes.
Elvis Presley followed along by Dr. Nick and two suitcase-sized valises full of medication. When did Oregon get its own chapter of Normal?
Oregon's chapter of Normal has been around, I believe, since the mid-1990s. An earlier incarnation was known as Portland Normal, or PDX Normal. As the group evolved and changed leadership, it then became Oregon Normal in, I believe, 98 or 99, and we've continued with that name since.
When we come back, we'll talk about the last decade, the upcoming decade, and what a new administration might mean for the laws governing marijuana in Oregon. That's when Outlook Portland returns, right here on Portland CW. I'm Rick Emerson, and welcome back to Outlook Portland on Portland CW. What is the difference between the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws and the state chapter in terms of how they proceed? What is it, as simple as state laws versus federal laws, or is there something more to it?
Somewhat along those lines, but every normal chapter, every state or local chapter is an independent affiliate. Normal is the largest grassroots organization involved in marijuana law reform. So we rely a lot on our local chapters to initiate actions within their local area, whether it be a local initiative to make lower priority for a city or a state initiative for medical marijuana. All local affiliates are also members of National Normal, and National Normal concentrates its resources on the federal level. For example, Representative Barney Frank last Congress turned in a bill for ending marijuana penalties, and Normal was a big part of that at the national level. And the national level also feeds the local chapters through providing resources like the website and the studies that we found on, that we found on medical marijuana and so on. So I guess the relationship is one that's both independent but also supportive.
This really seems like a phenomenally with it and structured organization. I can't even find my car keys half the time, so I really, by the way, I'd like points for not making the obvious pun about a grassroots movement, because I'm not that kind of broadcaster.
Well done.
How did your involvement in the organization come about?
Well, my involvement, I'd always personally been a marijuana consumer since 1990. My background is I was a professional musician, and as musicians go, the use of marijuana is fairly well known. We could probably make a ton of jokes about that. But it had never been a political concern of mine until 2005. In 2005, I was working in information technology and had been working as a contractor for years with stellar reviews and pay raises and the like. And it came time to migrate into full-time work with this company, which really wanted to hire me, but they required drug testing. And the type of drug testing they required was hair testing. And at the time, I was shaving my head, so I had no hair on my head. So in order to get this job to demonstrate my ability at information technology and high-tech world, it was required that they shaved the hair off my chest and armpits to test it for the metabolites of marijuana. And as that moment was kind of one of those crystal clear moments where you realize, this is insane. I can't imagine we could walk in, if we had a time machine and we could go back to the founding fathers and tell Thomas Jefferson that he'd have to shave the hair on his chest to get a job. That's what was, like I said, just a crystal moment for me that really made me aware of this fight and why it needs to be undertaken.
I'm just imagining you in the middle of the HR office, sort of with your arm, with like a headset on and sort of a day planner in your other hand while a guy is shaving your chest, which is altogether unnerving, by the way. So there's a popular image of Oregon and Oregon culture as it relates to marijuana. How does Oregon compare to the rest of the country in terms of marijuana laws?
Well, as far as our laws go, we have the dual distinction of being one of the 13 medical marijuana states and one of the 13 decriminalization states. Now, basically, the medical marijuana side means that patients who have a doctor's recommendation are free from the threat of arrest or prosecution for using marijuana. The decriminalization side means that non-medical users who are caught with small amounts of marijuana are only subject to a civil fine rather than an arrest or any sort of criminal record.
And medical marijuana is it's a lightning rod. It's a big part of the fight for people on both sides of the equation. And frankly, I don't even really know what the law is, because it seems so unbelievably complicated even when voters approve or courts strike down, it doesn't really seem to clarify anything. So in Oregon, medical marijuana, legal or illegal?
Absolutely legal, and it's pretty simple what the standards are. I think sometimes it's made more complex than it really is to try to frighten people away from it. Simply put, in the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act, a physician can recommend the use of marijuana for a patient under a limited set of conditions, which includes some of the standard things like glaucoma, cancer, HIV/AIDS, hepatitis C, and so on, but also includes any sort of condition or treatment that leads to chronic pain or nausea, which is what a lot of the patients register for.
If someone is a seriously ill medical marijuana user in Oregon, is there reason for them to fear that they will be arrested?
There is still reason to fear, because despite the law being clear that marijuana should be treated like other medicines and these patients should not be subject to arrest, there are some county sheriffs who have been quoted as saying they just don't follow that law. They just don't believe that law. And so in some of these more rural counties, and as we look in more southern and eastern Oregon, we do find patients that are being harassed and arrested despite their legal use of marijuana.
And can a doctor be arrested, punished for prescribing?
No, and that's one of the misconceptions that we should clear up as well. A lot of people think of medical marijuana as a prescription, it cannot be prescribed. This is a very important little bit of trivia, but in 96, Arizona passed a medical marijuana law, but it required a doctor's prescription. Prescriptions are a federal level thing that gets involved the DEA and drug
schedule. So this is a recommendation only.
Right. Doctors can recommend marijuana. During the Clinton administration, Rahm Emanuel was the point man on trying to squelch doctors' rights to recommend marijuana. They were going to go after the doctors, and it took a Supreme Court decision called Conant v. McCaffrey to reiterate the fact that doctors have a First Amendment right to recommend anything they wish.
When we return, we give equal time to the other side. Sacco the Puppet makes his triumphant comeback on Outlook Portland, right here on Portland CW.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana, it's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. Tree of Life by Human is Monday's music with a message, winner of the 2007 American Marijuana Music Awards Best Music Video. Human, originally from the Appalachian region and now based in California, is the energetic singer-songwriter and frontman of the conscious rock band The Human Revolution. The band are ecologically minded who walk their talk. They travel on biodiesel and veggie oil wherever possible, and their merchandise is manufactured as ecologically as commercially available. The Human Revolution perform original music in a style they call Mystic Country Jam Rock. The band mix screaming guitars, funky fiddle playing, a solid rhythm, and lyrics with a message of peace, freedom, and unity. The Human Revolution is more than a band, it's a movement towards creating a more positive and sustainable world and culture through words, thought, and action. Propelling this movement forward is the music of the band, The Human Revolution. For more about The Human Revolution, check out myspace.com/The Human Revolution. And registered stashers can access a download of the MP3 for this song, It's Tree of Life by Human.
I want to tell you all a little bit about a plant I know that can save the world. It grows long and tall and has flowers that can make your mind swirl. It's a funky plant with a fiber that is resistant to rain and mold. It's the strongest plant fiber known to man, the best rope you'll ever hold. Well, the pioneers covered up the wagon trains with a canvas made of hemp. And Washington and Jefferson grew it on their farms and said to make the most of it. The first stars and stripes were sewn on hemp, the first constitution too. This is around the world for food, fiber, oil, medicine, and fuel. And if we press the seeds, we won't have no need for any other oil. We can make paints and inks, or run our car, we'll go back next season, it'll fix the soil. The most nutritious seed we can put in our mouth with omega 6 and 3. We can feed the world with the tree of life and live sustainably. But if we cut down all the trees, we won't have nowhere to breathe. Grow fields of hemp instead. We can make our paper, build a house from it. It's the God's plan, growing wild and free, living the way that we ought to be. Gonna leave my children a better world than my ancestors left me. Whoa, whoa. La 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 la. Whoa, whoa.
Marijuana plant, they often call it dope. Can also be made into oil or rope. Some people say you smoke it and you feel fantastic, but from hemp you can make an alternative to plastic. Made from plants, not petroleum, you see, so it won't still be around in 4003. It can biodegrade, which means there'd be less pollution. Just another reason for a hemp revolution.
Best medicines on earth. Helps cancer and AIDS patients eat their food. Helps those with depression overcome the blues. Glaucoma, epilepsy, nausea, insomnia, stress, cirrhosis, psychosis, pain, PMS. All the studies have been done and all the doctors agree, but they can't make money off this plant, you see, because it's free. It grows from a seed, wild and free, like we ought to be. You know the future is grown in our own backyards. If we cut down all the trees, we won't have nowhere to be. We'll grow fields of hemp instead. We can make our paper, build a house from it. It's the God's plan, growing wild and free, living the way that we ought to be. Gonna leave my children a better world than my ancestors left me. Whoa, whoa. La 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 la. Whoa.
In the mid-1930s, it was the billion-dollar crop. With the invention of the decoder, kid, they could produce it non-stop. But then the smear campaign with Mexicans to blame started making people think it'll make your brain go pop. Yeah, since then it's never stopped. It ain't like getting high off of paint and crack rock. Time to bring it back to nature, time to bring back some life. Let the farmers do their job, stop giving them strife. Renewable resources, life-giving forces. Panels for your cars and saddles for your horses. DuPont, Monsanto, making the wrong choices. Suicide genes, extinguishing our voices. Cutting down the trees, polluting the seven seas. Leaving the fate of the planet to the corporate entities. Corrupt politics, warfare, disease. Now it's time to make a change, it's time to plant seeds.
Feathers so nutritious, you got oil seeds. It gives you all the protein you will ever need. You can make it in a sandwich with jelly or jam. Or make it in a soap or a lotion for your hands. You can make it into fuel, put it right in our cars. Then we won't need the oil and won't have to start wars. You can make it into paper, write as much as you please. Cause it grows like a weed and we won't have to cut trees. So put your faith in hemp, such a versatile plant. And don't let the government tell us we can't. Cause hemp can help us all in so many ways. And it doesn't mean that we will all be living in a daze. Versatility, sustainability, look at history. It ain't no mystery, hemp for victory.
If we cut down all the trees, we won't have nowhere to be. We'll grow fields of hemp instead. We can make our paper, build a house from it. It's the God's plan, growing wild and free, living the way. Just one single plank can bring us back almost 10,000 years in history. To the Shiva, Piranhas, the Jesus, the Christ, to the Buddha, the pagans, the goddess, the light, to commune with all the animals, to go with all the trees, to realize we gotta seek us inside me. As the earth is the mother, we gotta take care of the earth, cause the earth is the mother that gives life birth. And we can heal all our relations with a single green plant, and we can start right now.
We got to legalize, we're gonna come alive, all the people who know what's up, gonna say what the heck we letting these suckers get away with it for. Come on and open the door, are you with me, are you with me? It's gonna take my all the heavens to shut the suckers down. We're not fooling around, but they're keeping us divided, opposite sided. What do we Americans do? We keep buying it. Black and white, they're making us fight, and still in the same racist hatred justifies violence. Our nation's gotta wake up to see the real enemy is the powers that be from the opposition scene. Wake up now to nature's creation. Sacred herb can unite the nations. Gotta legalize the herb of vibration. All of this use is gonna heal the nation. Heal the nation.
I'm a normal guy. I like the outdoors. I work a 9-to-5. And I use marijuana recreationally and responsibly in the privacy of my own home. Recently, I became one of the 20 million Americans who have been arrested for a marijuana-related offense. Now I face jail time and my future is in jeopardy. But couldn't police resources have been spent more wisely? After all, 90% of all marijuana-related arrests are for simple possession. Is this normal?
I'm Rick Emerson, and welcome back to Outlook Portland on Portland CW. As is the case from time to time, not everyone sees the inherent joy in being part of this television program. Nevertheless, we will not let it be said that Outlook Portland does not treat every issue seriously and present all sides of a debate. Joining Russ Belville and myself to provide equal time is our good friend, Sacco, the Prohibition Puppet. Hello, Sacco.
Hello, Rick.
Sacco, what are your thoughts on the state of our drug laws and the ideas of reforming laws associated with marijuana?
Well, Russ, my first question would be, don't you believe that legalizing soft drugs leads to an abuse of hard drugs such as heroin?
That's a good question, Mr. Sacco. And first of all, let me thank you for showing up to defend the prohibition position, because it's so hard to find human beings that will say these things. What you're referring to is the gateway theory, this idea that the use of marijuana would lead to the use of harder drugs like cocaine, heroin, or meth. This is a myth that has been disproved by none other than our own federal government's Institutes of Medicine in 1999 and many other studies after that that have shown there is nothing physiological or psychological about the use of marijuana that leads to the use of harder drugs. The reason that people get caught up in this gateway myth is they look at people that use cocaine, meth, or heroin, and they say, oh, look at all these people. They first used marijuana. But rarely do they look at it the other direction and look at all the people who use marijuana, some 100 million people that have tried it in their lifetime, and how very few of those people ever move on to any harder drug. Rather than marijuana being a gateway drug, it's really more of a terminus drug.
I don't know what that means.
It means that the people that tend to use marijuana stop with their use of marijuana and don't move on to harder drugs.
It's a fair question to ask, if I can just interrupt for a moment. Wouldn't legalizing or decriminalizing at least send the message to the children that drug use is, drug use of whatever variety is without risk? Is there a risk that that message is going to be confused, or that somehow there's going to be a muddying of the issue?
That's another popular notion that just doesn't bear true when we look at the history of reforming our marijuana laws. Oregon was the first state to decriminalize in the 1970s, and following them, 12 states have also decriminalized. And in none of these states have we found that the use of marijuana increased in these states over the long term. Also, when we look at the experience of the medical marijuana states, in all of these states that have instituted medical marijuana, the teen use of marijuana has declined during that same time. So if there's any message being sent by liberalizing marijuana laws, the message seems to be that it's not the forbidden fruit and kids don't get so excited by the idea of using it.
Don't you believe, though, that society has a right to say that something is opposed by the majority of the citizens, and therefore it just shouldn't be allowed, and the government shouldn't be taking an active role in disseminating it?
Well, that's a kind of a stance, I suppose, people in the 1800s might have used to justify slavery, or in the early 1900s might have used to justify Jim Crow, that the majority has the right to vote on what the rights are of other citizens. We here at Normal, we do not believe that. We believe people have the right, inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if altering one's consciousness harmlessly with the use of marijuana isn't the pursuit of happiness, I don't know what is.
Some people would say that the medical marijuana issue is a little bit of a, not a straw man, but a Trojan horse, because that there are synthetic drugs, that there are synthetic properties that accomplish the same, you know, they have the same result without some of the other things associated with marijuana.
This is another popular misconception that's brought up by prohibitionists quite often, is the Marinol pill, which is a synthetic THC pill, which, strangely enough, synthetic THC pill at 100% potency is a Schedule III drug that is prescribable all across the nation. Yet raw marijuana, which is 1/10 to 1/20 as potent, is Schedule I and absolutely forbidden. The Marinol pill does not provide the same results as marijuana. Saying Marinol is the same as marijuana is like saying rum is the same as a daiquiri. There's while the THC in Marinol is a component of the marijuana plant has many, many other cannabinoids that also are medically efficacious. Now, the other issue with this, with regards to the use of marijuana medically, is that the people that are using it get so much better relief from the raw plant material than they do from the Marinol. For example, if you're a cancer patient and you are throwing up, the idea of swallowing a pill and keeping it down to treat your nausea is ludicrous. But the use of vaporized or smoked marijuana, people can treat their nausea immediately without any of the harsh side effects of pharmaceuticals.
When we continue, we'll discuss how Portlanders feel about current drug laws, specifically marijuana laws, and what each side of the equation is likely to do next. That's when Outlook Portland returns on Portland CW. I'm Rick Emerson. Welcome back to Outlook Portland on Portland CW. I'm joined by Russ Belville from the Oregon chapter of the National Association for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, as well as Sacco, the prohibition puppet. Sacco, you were making an interesting point during the break.
I was asking if Russ really believes that there is a civil right which entitles you to engage in behavior which can be shown to be destructive to yourself or society or your family.
That's a good question, Sacco. I think to address that right, we would have to look at the 18th and the 21st Amendments to the Constitution. It took a constitutional amendment to prohibit alcohol because many people felt morally strong that we shouldn't, be using alcohol, and that proved to be a complete disaster. Then we had the 21st Amendment that repealed that prohibition. That suggests to me that if we have the right to drink, that means we have a right to be intoxicated. And so it's ludicrous in my estimation to allow people to use the much more harmful drug, alcohol, when we don't give them the chance to use the safer drug, marijuana.
Where do most Oregonians seem to stand on the issue of marijuana reform, marijuana law reform? Is it something that is different than the rest of the United States in terms of outlook, in terms of opinion?
Absolutely. If you were to take a line and draw it from, say, Seattle, Washington, to just north of San Diego, and from that line across to the Pacific Ocean, you would find the most marijuana-friendly place in the world, the west coast of the United States. A Zogby poll was just released this last week that showed that while nationally support for legalizing marijuana stands at about 44%, in the West Coast, the support for legalizing marijuana stands at 58%. Nearly 6 in 10 people on the West Coast believe that marijuana should be taxed and regulated like alcohol.
Are we talking about a different drug than the drug of 30 or 40 years ago, though?
This is the old not your father's Woodstock weed argument, the idea that marijuana is now 10 times or 20 times more potent. It's just not true. The marijuana today is slightly more potent, maybe a factor of two in that, but that really doesn't matter. Marijuana is not like alcohol, where if you drink a beer, a 12-ounce beer versus 12 ounces of liquor, you're going to have an extremely different reaction. Marijuana is self-titrating, which just means as you use it, you can immediately sense how you feel. So if you have less potent marijuana, you smoke a lot of it and get high. If you have very potent marijuana, you smoke very little of it and get high. And from a health perspective, considering that the smoke is the most damaging part of marijuana, more potent marijuana could actually be more healthy for you.
From the vantage point of Normal, either in the Oregon chapter or nationally, what is the next step? What is the next stage? Is there a sense that the current administration will have a different tack than the Clinton administration or the Bush administration?
Well, it's important to understand that Normal's nonpartisan on these issues because when it comes to the drug war, both sides, Democrats and Republicans, have been pretty odious on this. President Clinton arrested 4.5 million marijuana smokers. President Bush arrested 5.4 million, so not a lot of difference there. We feel that the major move is not going to be at the federal level for quite a few years for many reasons, people feeling afraid to look soft on drugs and so on. Our focus now is on state-level initiatives that are continuing to build grassroots support for marijuana law reform and maybe sometime soon at the national level.
And on the opposing side, how do you see the approach unfolding?
Well, the battle against medical marijuana has been lost. They don't realize it yet, but the American people in poll after poll after poll, no matter where you survey them, the support for medical marijuana is in the 70 to 80% range. Michigan just passed medical marijuana. It got more votes than Barack Obama did and passed in every single county, even the ones that voted for John McCain. So that battle is over. Their only shot left for the prohibitionists is to continue to play the what about the children card, and even that's starting to fade.
I'd like to thank my guest, Russ Belville from the Oregon chapter of NORML, the National Association for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, as well as Sacco, the prohibition puppet.
I don't like my makeup.
We'll fix it in post. Don't forget, if you have an idea for an upcoming episode, guest, or topic, you can always email. It's OutlookPortland, all one word, OutlookPortland@yahoo.com. I'm Rick Emerson. If you find me even remotely amusing, you can always listen to me Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on AM 970, The Talker. Insert trademark catchphrase here, and we'll see you next time right here on Outlook Portland. I'm Portland CW.
Thank you for downloading the NORML Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at NORML, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with some reminders from our activist agenda available at stash.normal.org/agenda. Tomorrow, Tuesday, March 3rd, there's going to be a press conference at 1 p.m. Eastern. False positives equal false justice. This is a new release from the Marijuana Policy Project and Mintwood Media Collective. The purpose is to show how many of the most popular field drug test kits that are used by law enforcement often give off false positive for common items like soap, chocolate, and newspaper. Also, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, MarijuanaRadio.com is on the air. Check them out online. Coming up on Wednesday, hearings for medical marijuana in Illinois and medical dispensaries in Rhode Island. Thursday, the Oregon American Civil Liberties Union hosts a lobby day at the state capitol. And Friday, Cannabis Common Sense is on the air at ustream.tv. To get your events on the activist agenda, send a note to agendarequest@stash.normal.org. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.